you see in the bulletin, there's a, it says questions series. Sounds like Alpha. Kind of got the idea from Alpha a little bit. But for 3 weeks, we're going to look at some scriptures that have a lot of questions in them. Maybe ones that the Lord asks, others that people ask. And 3 weeks, we're going to read about Ezekiel. He's shown a valley of dry bones. The Lord takes him to a place, shows him a valley of dry bones, and the Lord says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? You'll have to come in a couple weeks to see what the answer is. Maybe you know. Next week, the disciples ask Jesus, if a helpless man before them, did he sin or did his parents sin because he's blind? You know, that tendency in our world where we want somebody to blame. You know, all that's going on. We want to blame it on somebody. You know, who sinned? And then today, the disciples in our passage, they see Jesus with a Samaritan woman, you know, at the end of the story. And they didn't ask, but they thought in their mind, what does she want? And what is Jesus doing with her? And that's not the key question in this passage. The key question that's asked is the woman earlier. She asked Jesus, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. He drank from it. His family drank from it. His flocks drank from it. Are you greater than our father Jacob? If she only knew. She does find out. We know. But if we only truly understood as well the gift of God available to us. And yes, there's a lot of sploosh in that. Beyond all kidding and fun, there is so much life. If we only knew, we would never thirst again. So have you said yes to this gift, the gift of God? Has it quenched your thirst? Has it satisfied you daily and filled you daily? Well, the Samaritan woman, she has a history. A history that says, dying of thirst. Things done, things left undone, some good, some not so good, guilt, regrets, fears you can imagine. Wounds and sorrows, secrets too. She's a woman with a past. There's evidence. 5 spouses and now living with a sixth that's not her husband. She's probably looked at, but not seen. She's labeled, yet we don't have a name for her. She's nameless. She remains unknown to everyone. Everyone that is, except Jesus. Women of her day had very little control over their lives. They did not have the choice of divorce. If a woman was divorced, it was the man that did it. And if she's not divorced, she had suffered the death of 5 husbands. 5 times left alone. 5 times left uncovered, unprotected, and nameless, and no value. 5 times starting over. Either one, divorce or death, is a tragedy for her life, right? We don't know the details of her past, and maybe I've pushed a little bit too hard on that. We have no idea, do we? But maybe we don't need to know. Maybe it's enough that she mirrors for us maybe our own life, or certainly the lives of many desperate people all around us. We too are people with a past, people with a history, people that may be parched and thirsty, just dying of thirst. People with a past often live in fear of being found out, right? Oh, I don't want anybody to find out about that. It's not just the fear that another will know the truth, the facts, but also that they won't know us, you know. We'll be judged before they even know us and connect with us without ever really seeing or knowing us. We all thirst to be seen, to be known, to have meaningful relationships, right? To really connect deeply. We all want that. We all want to pour our lives out to another. You know, guys need guys to share the critical things about their life. To iron sharpens iron. The women need that for each other. And together, families, you know, young and old, we need to pour our lives out to another. That is exactly what Jesus is doing when he says, "Hey, give me a drink," to the woman at the well. "Give me a drink." His invitation to let herself be known. To be found out, although to becoming known, it leaves us a little dry and desolate. It leaves us dehydrated, thirsting for something more, something different, but always returning to the same old wells. What wells do you visit when you're in need? Yeah, it's okay to get lost into TV and books, but do we get too lost into all the media? I just had to turn it off the other night. I was getting so depressed. What do we turn to? Well, for some, maybe it is the marriage well. For others, it's the well of perfectionism. I can do it. I'm the greatest. Some go to the well of hiding and isolation. Others to the well of power and control. If we just control people or control more, that's our satisfaction. But it's not satisfying, is it? What about the well of unforgiveness and regret? Oh, we heard some powerful teaching Friday night. Unforgiveness. How it can destroy us. Regret. What about the wells of addiction or busyness and denial or laziness and indifference? Many Christians still remain, they remain in shallow, empty religion. There's no depth. There's no grasping on to that sploosh that is real life in Christ. What about the well of fear, panic, or anxiety? Holding on to the past and being held captive to it. Why would we find our hope in that? Because we don't know what's real, maybe, what's available. We could each name the wells from which we drink day after day, month after month, year after year. We go to it, it's not satisfying, we're still thirsty, we're still hungry for more. We leave as thirsty as when we arrive. Too long we've been going to the well that never satisfies. That can never, ever satisfy, right? Well, there's another well, however, thanks be to God. The gift of God, the well of Jesus Christ, the Spirit. One that existed well before Jacob, Moses, or Abraham. I don't think there's a story in the Bible of Jacob actually giving the well. He gave the land there to Joseph. But the idea is that well followed Jacob. It followed the patriarchs. There was always provision, not just actual water, but the presence of God. It's a traveling well. It's the gift of God. It's for everybody. But he was greater than, he certainly existed before Jacob, Moses, or Abraham. In John's gospel, he'll say later, "Hey, before Abraham was, I am." The well from which new life and new possibilities spring forth. It's the well that frees us from the patterns and habits that hold us down, that keep us living deprived. If we only knew the gift of God and who gives it. She says yes. She believes. She starts trusting Jesus. He's the gift. He's the well. He's the living water. He's Messiah. It doesn't matter. She's found the answer. That is the well that she comes to, that she found. She intended to go to the same old well. She'd gone for years. Today is different. Jesus holds before her two realities of her life. The reality of what is and the reality of what might be. He brings her past right into the noonday sun. Not judging her, not condemning her. but just a statement of what is. You've had five husbands. The one you're living with now is not your husband. Simply a statement. He tells her everything she's ever done. She's been found out. But he loves her. He's loving on her and caring for her, compassionate, helping her, leading her, guiding her, offering the gift. She's found out, but it doesn't end there. He's more interested in her future than her past. He wants to satisfy her thirst more than judge her history. Jesus knows her. He looks beyond her. Underpassing, he sees a woman dying of thirst. Someone thirsting to be loved. Someone thirsty to be seen, to be accepted, to be included, to be forgiven. To be invited in to the circles, friendships, to be known. Her thirst will never ever be quenched by anything else other than salvation in Jesus Christ. The same as for us. Jesus says so. He says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The living water that is new life, new possibilities, freedom from the past. This living water is Jesus Christ. It became in the Samaritan woman a spring welling up, gushing over, sploosh, sploosh. Yes, come on kids, help me. She received the gift, she believed, she discovered new life in Christ. Jesus stayed on a couple days and they were taught, they were discipled. More and more people came to faith. Now we know for ourselves, they said, that Jesus is Messiah. Worship team, if any of you guys need to come up, I'm almost done, ready for our song. Dying of thirst spiritually, you know, receiving that gift, saying yes, is to the reality of embracing humility, experiencing brokenness. You know, when we're that open with the Lord, it's a healthy brokenness, a good humility. That's how we encounter the holiness of God, wherever we are. Saying yes empowers our no. No to all that is wrong, the wells that maybe we've been going to, we don't want to, all that is dark and dismal. Gary Butler's testimony a couple weeks ago. Say, no, I'm done with that. And saying yes to abundant life. A newfound hunger for God's will and purposes. It's God's will that we're here today worshiping today, right? Deliberate acts of reconciliation. All that's going on in our world, be reconciled today. Be reconciled today with God, with whomever else you need to be reconciled with. Be done with the other way. Be reconciled today. No more harboring hurt and anger and bitterness. And as with the Samaritan woman, she says yes. Our eyes are open. We see the fields white for harvest. So many people searching, so many people clamoring after other wells. New life brings freedom, desire, and faith to share the gospel. It's a priority to witness to the world around us, to be light in the midst of this present darkness. It's not enough, however, just to hear her story, even believe her testimony, until we come to Jesus Christ exclusively, forsaking all other wells. He's number one. You are the gift. You are life. Come to the well of Christ's life, Christ's love, Christ's presence, the Holy Spirit. Come to the well that is Christ Himself. The Holy Spirit will fill you. And let's release those things to the Lord as we sing, as we conclude our service. Put it all into God's hands. Done with what we need to be done with, and receive what God is offering.